Look up here. Two last things. One is for taking it to the streets. I just want to encourage you. If you're like, I could never go talk to someone, a stranger, about a spiritual conversation. You're right. But Jesus can help us, in all seriousness. And the cool thing is, there's going to be a bunch of students and leaders there that have done it before. And so you're like, you know what? I just want to come experience it. You don't even necessarily have to talk to someone. You could just be one of the other people that goes up to someone, and you're just there praying. And so it's a cool experience, and I promise you this, and anyone that's done it before will tell you, people are more willing to talk about spiritual things than you think. And people are thinking about those things. So I would encourage you to take part in that this Wednesday, and I know leaders, Bentley's looking for some help with that too. Second thing is, I always times like to share with you guys what's going on in my life. Like, I'm one of your pastors, want to take care of you. Sometimes things happen to me. You're like, I've gotten people like, are those new glasses? Do you wear glasses? It's like, yeah, I wear glasses all the time. Well, I wear glasses at night, but normally contacts. But the reason I'm wearing my glasses right now is because this Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm actually having sort of a minor eye surgery. I have this kind of degenerative disease wrong with my eyes where, like, if your cornea is like this, mine goes like this. And so I usually wear hard contacts to reshape my cornea. Well, I'm getting a surgery, and the thing that's a little weird is they're not going to, like, put me under, but they're going to have to, like, have my eyelids open for a really long time, and they use, like, ultraviolet light to go in there and reshape your cornea. Kind of crazy, or radio waves to reshape your cornea. And then it's not LASIK. I wish it was LASIK. LASIK would be nice. And so can you see all this? You can't come with me, but...
No,
I guess I'm going to see all of it. They're going to give me a little bit of sedative, and that's it. So, I had to wear my glasses since yesterday before the surgery. So that's why I'm wearing glasses. I'd love for you guys to pray for me. I've actually never had any kind of surgery in my entire life. So, I've had stitches a bunch of times, broken legs, but never had surgery. So, I would appreciate your prayers. Okay. It was about 6 years ago now, I got to take... lead a team to Croatia. I don't think anybody in this room was on that trip. No, Mary, you were on that trip to Croatia, weren't you? Mary's not in here still. Okay. She's so popular. So anyways, I take this trip to Croatia. And as many of you know, I love coffee. Yes. I love coffee. And I remember being in Croatia, and, like, we were there for a couple of days, and, like, we had been at the church and some missionaries' homes, and they had coffee, and they could speak English, so it was easy. And then I remember I was out by myself for this one point, and I just wanted to order a cup of coffee. And, like, got there and went up to the front, and I was like, I don't speak this language. I can't even order a cup of coffee, right? But it didn't take me long. I learned how to say coffee, kava. Kava is how you say coffee in Croatian. It's one of the few words I know in Croatian. And so I was able finally to order a cup of coffee. But you know, that was my first experience being in another country where I didn't know the language. And usually while we're there, we had one of our missionaries with us and he could translate and a lot of the crazy story. Okay, so I'll just tell you this real quick. This isn't part of my message, but it's a good story. So a lot of the younger high school students there, they all spoke really good English. And they all had almost all of them had American accents. So this one time, there's this one guy, I had heard him, he was like a young college age student. He was speaking Croatian, and then all of a sudden, he starts speaking English, and it's in this perfect British accent. And I was like, what? And I was like, dude, why do you have a British accent? And he's like, well, all the TV shows that I learned English on were British TV shows. And so all the kids that learned English through American TV shows, they had an American accent. It just totally blew my mind. Okay, that just came to mind. Don't know why I told you that. Just wanted to tell you. So, you know, I'm able to order my coffee while I'm in Croatia and make my way around. But I remember coming. I still remember this. This was like 5 years ago or maybe a little bit more. I still remember like it was yesterday. There's a Starbucks. It used to be on Drainsville, right at the corner in that shopping center right there. Anybody know the one I'm talking about? They moved it over to a standalone Starbucks now. I used to go to that Starbucks a lot. And before I switched to Panera, changed my allegiance. And I remember walking up to the line, and I was in line, and I remember I was like, I so took for granted the ability to communicate, right? Before I'd gone into Croatia, I was just like, yeah, everybody knows English. It's easy to speak English. I live in America. It's no big deal. And then I remember for the first time, I was like, now it's so easy. I can just walk up and say, I just like a pike place with some cream and a little bit of sugar. And that was it. And it was so easy. And it was just mind-blowing for me how much I had taken for granted the ability to communicate. And how much just a simple thing like ordering a cup of coffee requires communication. So today we're going to talk about words are life. Words are life. We're going to dig into the meaning of words and why words are important. So here's what I want you to do. Have a little table share right now. Do you take for granted your ability to communicate? Why or why not? Go ahead. So I assume it sounds like, from what I hear from a lot of you, it sounds like you got some stories of maybe times when you did take for granted your ability to communicate and how much it mattered to you. And recently, it was probably about 2 months ago, I was reading through the book of Proverbs. I hadn't read through Proverbs in a while. And I was getting into chapter 10, and what just stuck out to me, and I've read through Proverbs probably 8-9 times, and just what really stuck out to me was how much it was talking about words and how much our words and our speech really matter. There was just like tons of verses in like 3 or 4 chapters that were all talking about speech. And the writer of Proverbs, throughout Proverbs, talks a lot about our words. So I started to realize, I'm like, man, words are really important. And I know that sounds kind of simple, but I think we take for granted. We don't often think about how important words are. The words which come out of our mouths have the possibility for great benefit. They also have the possibility of great harm. Some of you have been really encouraged by words before, and some of you have been really hurt by words that people have used towards you. Man, words have great power. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you some famous speeches in history, and I want to see if you can tell me who they are, okay? I'm sure some of our history scholars here, like Mark's getting all excited back there. He's like, let's go. I'm excited. Okay, so sorry we only got one screen. Something's wrong with the other one. We'll fix it up, but here we go. In the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. Shh. Let me read it all. I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it. I do not believe that any of us would exchange places with any other people or any other generation. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it, and the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what you can do for your country. Ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can. See, I was making sure you were following me. What you can do for your country. Who is it? John F. Kennedy, inauguration speech, January 20. Who knew that? Raise your hand if you knew that. Just be honest. Okay, so good minded. Okay, next one. Here we go. It is, you guys are excited. All your speech is excited over there. Shh. It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war has actually begun. The next gate that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What does that gentleman wish? What would they have if life is so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Who is it? Patrick Henry. You guys know your Virginia history. Given at St. John's Church to persuade the delegates to go to war. Okay, got another one for you. Here we go. Okay, but in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow the ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, we have consecrated it far above our poor power. To add or detract, the world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task of remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause from which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Who is it?
Abraham
Lincoln, the Gettysburg Address. Okay, I got one. Got one more for you. Why am I doing so many of these speeches? Because they're words. You guys know them. These are people from some hundreds of years ago. But you remember their words. Okay, Dennis, we got a video clip coming up next. This was a really good clip. I don't know what happened. I even tried it out before. This was Winston Churchill when he's persuading the English Parliament to go to war. So I'm not sure what happened there, but we're going to keep going. Winston Churchill. So these speeches were turning points in history. They moved people to action. They started wars to defeat evil. They encouraged people. They challenged people. They started wars for freedom that even created our country. They began the beginning of the end of slavery. So words are really powerful. It's so interesting. I mean, there's such a simplicity in words. Like, words can be so simple, and yet there's such a great depth in words. It's amazing. We use words, think about this, we use words to communicate the most basic but most important things, as can I have a cup of coffee, to great philosophical ideas. Words are used for both of those and all in between. And we see words kindling great fires right now. I mean, just think about some of the things that are said on social media that just create these great fires and burn. So, words are important and words matter. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to talk at your table about how have someone's words encouraged and impact you? Why are words so powerful and important? Take about 4 minutes. All right. Let me hear just from a couple of you, like, why did you say words are so important? Why are they powerful and important?
We were talking about how just as much they can, like, encourage people and build them up, they're also really, like, powerful weapons to, like, tear people down.
Yeah, so words have this great ability to build up, but the power to tear down seems almost stronger than the power to build up, which is tough. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to talk about later. That is so true. You cannot take words back. That's right. Yeah.
Well, words are super vital to clear communication, and clear communication is vital for a functional society and functional community.
Dude, she's going base level foundation here. You got to have clear communication for a functioning society. That's really true. It's totally true. Like, one of the things, like, communication is, when Wendy and I were first married, I would just think, well, I'll put this kitchen utensil wherever I think it should go. And I wouldn't tell her. And she, like, sometimes, like, call me, and she'd be like, where is this thing? Like, where is whatever it may be? And I realized, I'm like, okay, if I'm ever going to move something or do something different, I just need to clearly communicate or say, hey, I moved this here. And the clear communication becomes very clear when you actually communicate. Yeah. That's really true. So, I mean, words. Exactly. And I'm going to talk about this in just a minute. But words allow us to communicate ideas. Without words, how do we communicate ideas? We need to use words. So, but again, I asked this question, why are words so powerful? Aren't words just verbal utterances that come from our mouths? Isn't that all they are? Just verbal utterances? Are they not just scribbles we write on paper? Are you not just told that? I feel like part of what you're told, now you're not directly told this, but you're kind of told this, that words don't really have much meaning. You're kind of told that they don't have meaning. Just sort of, yeah, someone can say something, but I didn't really mean it, so it's not really a big deal. This can mean one thing today, but this word means another thing the next day. That words don't have meaning. And so here is how God views words. This is how the importance that God puts on words. John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This Greek word logos means word or message. It means the message was with God. This is talking about Jesus. Words are so important to God that he would literally call Jesus the Word. He is God's Word made manifest to us. He is God's message to us. Everything was made through the Word, and we find spiritual and physical life through the Word. This is how important words are to God. Words are powerful and important because with words we give ideas. And listen to this, and this is on your sheet. Ideas matter. Ideas matter. It is with ideas that philosophies are started, that religions were started, that really good things come about and really bad things come about. Words are powerful and important because with words we give ideas, and ideas matter. We didn't get to see the movie clip, but if you know anything a little bit about history, and you know Winston Churchill gives this speech to the parliament, and his country really didn't want to go to war. They didn't want to engage in the war. They knew what was happening right across the pond from them in Europe was really bad stuff, but they didn't want to engage. And it was Winston Churchill's words, the speech that he gave, that encouraged the people, the parliament, to say, we are going to engage in this war because this is important to defend freedom and to help people. It was ultimately his idea through words that he brought forth that they would go into war. So this kind of begs the question. This begs the question, where do ideas come from? Like, that sounds kind of weird. Okay, well, words are what we communicate with our ideas, but where do ideas come from? Here's what Luke says. This is what Jesus says in the book of Luke. For no good tree bears bad fruit, and nor again does any bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For the figs are not gathered from the thorn bushes, nor the grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of one's heart, his mouth speaks. If you're like me, sometimes I like to think, some things that come out of my mouth, I'm like, where did that come from? Like, I say something comes out, and I'm like, where did that come from? And I want to think that just kind of came out of thin air, like that really wasn't Lee. And then I have to take a second evaluate and go, no, that came out of you because it's in you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Words do not just come out of thin air. They are what is stored up in our mind. We speak out of what we think, and our thoughts come from what we allow into our minds and what we allow our minds to dwell on. Our thoughts come from what we allow our minds to dwell in, what we allow into our minds through our eyes, through our ears. Now, I'll give you a story. You're going to kind of laugh and be like, wow, that's a crazy story all in one. Lee used to have a dirty mouth. Very dirty mouth. Like some of you in here. And hey, I'm just being honest, it's true. Lee had a dirty mouth, right? And so when Lee was in high school, Lee, I'm talking in third person here because I don't want to admit that it was me, okay? When I was in high school, I used to cuss a lot. Now, I had some really good friends that went to church with me, and unbeknownst to me, they saw me, heard me cuss a lot at school. So one Sunday, it was my family's tradition we would get some of the most glorious things in the world, Krispy Kreme donuts. Who's had a Krispy Kreme donut? God bless America, right? God bless America. So it was my family's tradition. We would come home and we would sit on the front porch after church. And we just sit there, we'd eat some nuts, we'd hang out, we'd talk. It was really enjoyable. Now, if any of you know my mom, who's met my mom? Really sweet lady, super sweet lady. So we're sitting there this Sunday and we're eating Krispy Kreme donuts. And all of a sudden, my mom starts dropping the F-bomb, the S-word, the B-word, every word you could think of. And just think about me. I'm like, what the crap is going on here? I'm like, no way. This is a true story. I'm like, what? And so then she stops. And like, I got nothing to say. Like, I'm like, whoa. I'm like, someone's got to cast a demon out of her. Something's going on here. So I stop. And then she's like, yeah, and that's exactly what you sound like. That is what you call a good parenting example right there. Throwing down. And she's like, yeah, your friends, she's like, they care about you enough that they came to me and they told me, this is how you speak. Now, at that moment, I was like, my friends suck. Really? This is messed up. But see, here's the thing. I could have just made, and this is sometimes how you guys think, and because it's how I thought, so I'm pretty sure it's how you think. I just think, who really cares? Those are just words. They don't really mean anything. But here's the thing. What I was doing with my words was communicating what I had allowed to dwell in my mind. And out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth spoke. And if you're like me, you'd come on a Sunday, I wouldn't cuss on a Sunday. I could hold it in. But when I was outside of here, that's when I let it loose. I was showing what I believed was actually important and who I really was by what I spoke. The words you say, the things you say, they are not by accident. They are what is stored up in your mind. Our minds, our words come from what we have stored up in our minds. Our minds and our hearts. But ultimately, when the Bible talks about our heart, it's talking about the seat of our emotions. And it's really what we allow into our mind. And it's what we store up there. Here's what Ephesians 4:29 says. Let no corrupting talk come out of your minds, but only such as is good for building up, as is the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Hear me on this. Words are not neutral. Words are not neutral. They either build up or tear down. Words are not neutral. They either build up or tear down. You might think, well, I can tell you all these words that are just neutral. But ultimately, when you really think about it, words either build up or they tear down. They are not neutral. So here's my question for you. What fruit is your life producing? What words are coming out of your mind? What thoughts are coming out from the abundance that's in you that comes through your words? Because then the question is, that is what you are allowing to be stored up in your mind and in your heart. Okay, table share. Do you agree with what we say comes from what we have stored up in our minds? What are the sources in your life which affect your mind, which are good and which are harmful? You got 4 minutes, go. Bring it back up here. If you can't see me, turn this way so you can see me. So I wanted to give you that foundation for words because I'm not sure you've ever really heard that to understand words actually have meaning. You can learn English. You can go to school. You can learn English grammar, how to spell. I still need help in English. But it doesn't tell you that words have meaning. So now that you understand that words have meaning, you understand even the biblical importance of words, and that really it's not about necessarily the words that come out, it's about what's stored up in your mind and in your heart, and that's what's come out. That is which comes out. Now that we know that, let's look at Proverbs 10 through 13. I'm just going to walk you through kind of rapid fire some verses on words to help you get an understanding. And what you're going to learn from most of these verses in Proverbs is that most of them aren't necessarily saying, well, this is how you should talk exactly. They're saying it is that which is stored up in you, which reveals what is in your heart. Okay, Proverbs 10, 11. Dennis, my clicker stopped working. It worked great until now. Can you click to the next slide? Proverbs 10, 13. Okay, our mouths Let me read it. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Our mouth can bring forth wisdom if we take it in and listen to the Lord. Proverbs 10:13. On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. That's true. The lips of him who has understanding. Where does understanding come from? I take in truth. I begin to understand how the world works, how God desires things to work. When I have that understanding, guess what comes out on my lips? It's understanding. Okay, now to Proverbs 10:18 that says, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Our mouths can either tell lies or truth, destruction or healing. Those are the two options that our mouths can bring out. Lies or truth, destruction or healing. 10:19 says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Sometimes, let's say actually a lot of times, Lee needs to take this one into account. Right? I mean, it's just when we talk, and we don't think about what we're saying, there's often transgression there. Like someone over here said, you cannot take those words back in. Now, don't get me wrong. It's wrong. It's sinful to have a thought against somebody, a hatred thought, a hateful thought against somebody. But when it comes out of your mouth, you cannot take that back in. How about this? Who's ever hit send on a text they didn't mean to? That's the worst, my friend. Gmail has a 3-second thing now where you can take it back. God bless. iMessage needs one of those, right? But I mean, sometimes when we just talk, there's transgression there. Why? Because guess what? The more we talk, the more ability there is for transgression there. Proverbs 10:20 says, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The tongue of the righteous is valuable because what is stored up in their heart is righteousness. Have you been around people that encourage you a lot? Well, it's because they've stored up righteousness there. They stored up what is encouraging, and that is ultimately what comes out. Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. Dude, our words can heal and encourage. That's the power of our words. They can heal and encourage. When you say the right thing at the right time, it is so encouraging. If you've been a part of our small groups on Wednesday night, that last small group we have where we go around and share that encouragement with each other, it is so valuable and so encouraging because it's people that have been in your life and that have seen you at your best and your worst, and they can give you a word of life and a word of encouragement there. Here's what Proverbs 10:31 says. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. Again, what's stored up in our hearts is what will come out. Proverbs 10:32. We're still in chapter 10. These are all words. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. You know, our words can very often guide us to favor with people. I mean, I think it's just a practical wisdom from Solomon. Like when you learn to talk respectfully to people, humble yourself, speak with respect, that can actually guide you into favor with people. Just a practical part of words. Okay, chapter 11. Now, with his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. You know, gossip and slander are kind of the norm for our world. Our little townhome community, it's like 50 homes. There's a Facebook group for it. Every time I go in that Facebook group, I'm like, you guys just talk crap to people in here. That's all you do is talk crap. Because that's the normal way of the world, to slander and to gossip. But our words can be tools for building up or destroying. I'm telling you, God has given us a privilege to have the power of words to encourage and build up. Proverbs 11:12 says this, often we want to speak what comes to our minds first. All right, I'm going to read the verse. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Often we want to speak what comes to our mind first, but in holding our tongue and thinking on what we are about to say, we can save the world from a lot of hurt. And guess what? If you would take a challenge by me to say for this week, I'm gonna start to think, really think about what I say. And what I think that will reveal is what is actually in your heart, and begin asking God, Lord, help me to know, how do I change what I have stored up in my mind and what I am thinking? Proverbs 12:6 says, many people want to hurt people with their words to make themselves feel better or accomplish their goals. Because the words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright delivers them. People want to hurt people with their words to make themselves feel better or accomplish their goals, but the words of the righteous person reveal their true motives. Again, it's what's stored up in the heart. Proverbs 12:18-19, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Again, our words have lasting impact. Lasting impact. As some of you shared, people that have encouraged you, but I know there's stories of words that have been said to you that hurt you. Proverbs 12:22, we're just three chapters in. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Think about this. This is so cool. Our speech can bring honor to God. That's the way we worship God, by what we say, how we talk to people, what we write, how we think, that all of it comes out of our mouths. Man, we have an ability to honor and worship God with our words. Proverbs 12:23, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. Again, speaking too much may reveal that. A lot of times when we speak too much, you know what that reveals? Is we have this need to prove ourselves. I've got to speak because I got to prove myself. I want people to think I'm smart, that I know all these things. And Solomon's wise. He says, hey, sometimes when you're just quiet, it reveals that you're humble, and that is part of knowledge. And lastly, Proverbs 13:3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Thinking about the words that we say and seeing what is stored up in our hearts. Okay, let's see. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to talk about this question. What would people around you say about your words? And what does that reveal about what's in your heart? I know you got to go a little deep here. Take about 2 minutes. Go. So here we go. Come up here. I want to help you apply this to close out here. Because ultimately, again, it's not like let me just have some rules for the things that I say. The reality is what's in my mind and in my heart is what's going to come out. So let me help you think about some of the sources that might need to change in your life. You might need to add, or you might need to take away. Change, add, or take away. Here's the sources. One, music. Music has a huge impact on your life. A bunch of you just looked up like, oh no, he said music. Yeah, music has a big impact. The words that you hear, they store up in your mind and they come out of your mouth. So, next one, movies and shows. We're getting ideas from movies, shows, Netflix, more than we realize. What are some things you might need to change there? What's some things you might need to take away? Some of you might just need to add God's word to your life. You need that truth to come into you, to bring that biblical truth in. You might need to add God's word just to meditate on for 5 minutes a day. Begin there. That's the ultimate truth that we need in us to reveal our hearts to us and to encourage us. So for some of you, it's friends. You know, what do your friends say? Your friends have an impact on you by what they say. What about school? Ideas are taught through words all day at school. You get that? All day you are hearing words that talk about thoughts. You might need to be sifting through some of the thoughts and things you're hearing at school. What about social media, internet? Man, full of ideas. Full of some really good ideas. Full of some really terrible ideas. What do you need to add, change, or delete there? And lastly, even video games. They put forth ideas. They put forth truth. What do you need to add, change, or delete? So we're going to end right here on this. Ephesians 4:29 again. Was it there? Is it not? Oh, it's not there. Okay, sorry. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Okay, here's your application. I'm not going to say this too often, so here we go. I want you to pray about 2 things. Right now, we're going to take a minute to do this. Pray about 2 things. First one, is there someone that you need to encourage, that needs your encouragement? And I'm not even talking necessarily in this room, maybe someone outside of this room, that you're like, God, reveal to me, who do I need to encourage? The second one might be, who do you need to go and ask forgiveness for something that you've said to them? Two things right there. I want you to pray. And then after about 30 seconds, I want you to actually pick your phone up and text somebody that you need to encourage, or maybe you need to say, hey, we need to talk later. Okay? 30 seconds, pray and see what God would say to you.